Welcome back to Harvest Work. Today I wanted to share some ponderings regarding self and sacrifice. I always feel a little inadequate talking about these things. This is a topic that I've been chewing on for a while, not because I know it all or have it all down pat, but because I have had to learn these things the hard way, and the Lord is teaching me. I have just felt a pressing to talk about this topic for a while. So I have spent a little bit of time in the world's find yourself culture, and thankfully, by the grace of God, I have been brought out of that. But it's interesting to look back on what I went through during that time. I am naturally very introverted and introspective, creative, emotional, so this ideology of finding yourself was always very appealing to me. Before I truly knew Christ and put my trust in Him, I was constantly on this pursuit of the next thing, the pursuit of that missing piece. And we are seeing this a lot in women today, young and old. I can think of a few like YouTubers right now in particular that I feel like are always just saying that they, you know, found the thing that changed their life, the thing that gave them purpose, the method of meditation that changed their day. But you'll notice that it never actually lasts. Every week it's something new because those things never satisfy. They are not the thing. And I know so deeply what it feels like to be in that loop and just the emptiness that comes with it. The always learning and never able to arrive at a knowledge of the truth, as we see in 2 Timothy 3:7. It's truly just a constant cycle of finding this new thing that the world offers, and this thing that takes our own effort and our own striving, and all it gives us is emptiness. I definitely know that the New Age is to blame for our rise in this pursuit of self. I was never deep into the New Age, but I still unintentionally dabbled with it for a little while. I was really into the Enneagram and personality tests. I also tried meditation and mindfulness and yoga occasionally. These are all extremely dangerous and have absolutely no place in the Christian life, but sadly we are seeing them more and more infiltrating the church, and I was always extremely defensive when this was pointed out to me by other Christians, but seeds were planted and the Lord gave them growth, so it's the least I can do to maybe plant some seeds for others here. So I am going to leave some resources about the Enneagram and the New Age in this episode's blog post so you can look into that further from a biblical perspective. When I was involved in these things that are very self-introspective, I spiraled into darkness. It was a constant cycle of melancholy and bitterness and frustration because I was never able to arrive at my true self. All of these things that were supposed to be so promising were failing me. The Enneagram, witchcraft, meditation, yoga, all of that stuff opens you up to darkness. As much as the world wants us to view Satan as just some red guy with horns and a pitchfork, we need to know what the Bible says, and the Bible says that we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but of spiritual powers. The spiritual world is very real, and there are things that will open you up to that. I'm not saying I was tormented by a demon, but I was dealing with darkness that is not a part of God's kingdom, and I am not the only one to experience this. When dabbling in those New Age things, I eventually got to the point where I began questioning whether the idea of finding your true self is biblical. I remember the day I was journaling a prayer, as I do sometimes, and I wrote something along the lines. It makes me cringe just thinking about it right now, but I said something like, "Lord, help me. help me to become my true self. And as soon as I wrote those words, it was just like immediate conviction. It was just not right. I knew it was not right. And I realized and I said, Lord, make me like Christ. To be my true self would be a horrible thing. I remember who I was before Christ. I was dead. I was a slave to darkness, to sin, to my flesh. Only in Christ am I free. Jeremiah 17:9 tells us that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? And in Romans 3:10, we learn that no one is righteous. No, not one. Our true self, our true nature, is sinful. It's utterly depraved. It's selfish and hateful, greedy, prideful, angry, envious, lustful, lazy, and none of those things can be put off by our own efforts. But the good news is that in Christ, we die to that sin and are made alive in Him. And each day that we walk abiding in Him, we are shaped more and more to His image until the day of glorification when we are made perfect. We are righteous in the eyes of God because of Jesus' righteousness, not because we are good, because we are not. Jesus was the spotless lamb, the final and perfect sacrifice that reconciles His chosen with God. This is not something that could ever happen by our own works, our own efforts, our own self-betterment, or finding our true selves. Contrary to what the world tells us, self-love is not something we need to cultivate or pursue. It's automatic. By nature, we want what is best for ourselves. We don't need any help being selfish. You know how they say you don't have to teach a child to be selfish, but you do have to teach them to share. And that is because it is in our nature to pursue the self over others. And I have heard wise women like Ali Stuckey and Katie from the Berean Millennial explain how even self-loathing is a form of self-love because you're wanting better, you're wanting change, you're wanting different for your flesh. You're wanting that for yourself. That is still a form of self-love. And this pursuit of self feels good at first. It feels empowering, but it will never ever satisfy that deep longing and thirst in your soul. Only faith in Christ can do that. So even when meditation and yoga and the next self-love trend looks promising, it's not. It's empty. On the flip side, I do want to mention there is a level of self-examination that is necessary in the Christian walk. We are called to examine our hearts in a way that leads to repentance. 1 Corinthians 3:5, examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. But this is not the world's version. The world's version of self-introspection is not the biblical kind. The growth that the world speaks of is not a growth that comes from abiding in the vine, abiding in the commandments of our Lord. We are commanded to love the Lord our God with all of our heart and with all of our soul and with all of our mind and to love our neighbor. And we cannot pursue obedience in either of these commands if we do not first put to death the self. Where there is love, there is always self-denial. The world does not get to define love. God does. Self-love is not love. God is love, and therefore love is defined by God. True love does not favor the self, but denies the self. And Jesus, of course, is our example of this. Ephesians 5:2 says, "And walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." Jesus' love was not rooted in his best interest, but in the best interest of his sheep. He laid his life down for his sheep, and that sacrificial love is to be our example. Romans 5:6-8 says, "For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person, one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." The world tells us to walk away from what doesn't serve us. I'm sure we've all heard that saying or have seen it on Instagram. But Jesus tells us to walk toward others and serve them. I really don't think that the cross and the cup of God's wrath that was meant for us was really a pleasing to the flesh experience for Jesus. Can you imagine if he took on the world's perspective and said, yeah, you know what? This doesn't really serve me, and then just walked away from the cross? I mean, absolutely not. That's not what he did. He died for the ungodly. He died the death and suffered the wrath that was meant for us when he was the only perfect, sinless one to ever walk this earth. That right there is the clearest example that self-love and the pursuit of self have absolutely no place in the Christian life. When what we are seeking is self-betterment instead of God-glorification, we will continually be left empty. But when we give our life to Christ and abide in him, our branches will bear fruit and we will be satisfied because we are drinking from the well that never runs dry. There is no self-improvement apart from sanctification that comes when you are regenerated in Christ Jesus. If you are dead in your sin, it doesn't matter what kind of meditation or mindfulness you use, the kind of therapist you go to, the kind of food you eat, you are dead and walking in darkness, and you will not find fulfillment there. You will not find betterment apart from Christ. Isaiah 26:3 says, "You keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you." If we want peace and fulfillment and a sound mind and satisfaction, it's not wrong to seek those things, but we must go to the only place where we will find them. We must immerse ourselves in God's word and keep our mind on him. We look outward to Christ rather than inward at ourselves. In Matthew 10:38-39, Jesus says, "Whoever does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." In Matthew 16:24-25, Jesus mentions this again and says, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." So my friend, if your heart is hungry today, don't go searching for what the world offers. All it has is mere crumbs. Feast on the bread of life who will fulfill your every need. If your soul is weary today, don't go searching for what the world offers. All it has is filthy rags. Let Jesus Christ be the lifter of your head, for his yoke is easy and his burden is light. The world says, find yourself, follow your heart, but Jesus says, deny yourself and follow me. It is a death of ourselves so that we may live in Christ.